I love a clever solution to a problem, something smart and actionable, the kind you can plan for in advance. But problems that spiral out of control are usually the ones that you never saw coming. That's what makes today's sponsor, Horizon 3, so special. They use sophisticated AI tools to find vulnerabilities in your systems the same way that bad actors and hackers do. Only instead of exploiting your vulnerabilities and weaknesses, they flag them so you can fix them first. This isn't just a solution to a problem, it is a solution to finding the problem. Horizon 3's Node Zero is an autonomous AI hacker that continuously attacks your own environment at machine speed, the same way a real attacker would, finding all the areas that are vulnerable. See exactly what an attacker would find in your environment before they do. Go to horizon3.ai/problem solvers and request your free Node Zero demo. Again, horizon3.ai/problem solvers. No commitment required, results in hours, not weeks. When it comes to launching a business, we talk a lot about having the big idea, the vision. But you know, there's more to it than that. Like setting up your website, your phone number, managing public records, staying on top of compliance. It's the unglamorous stuff that can be a lot to manage. And that is where Northwest Registered Agent can help. You don't just form a business. You start with a complete foundation built for privacy, credibility, and growth. Northwest Registered Agent has been helping small business owners and entrepreneurs launch and grow businesses for nearly 30 years. They are the largest registered agent and LLC service in the U.S. with over 1,500 corporate guides who are real people who know your local laws and can help you and your business every step of the way. Don't pay hundreds or thousands of dollars for what you can get from Northwest for free. Visit northwestregisteredagent.com/solversfree and start using free resources to build something amazing. Get more with Northwest Registered Agent at northwestregisteredagent.com/solversfree.
Sometimes when someone has done something that we don't like or we don't appreciate, there's a sort of phase where what you really want to do is go, ah, that is an expression of your distress or annoyance, but it is not feedback. And so, you know, I think, you know, there is something about teasing those two things apart. Feedback really is about how do you develop the other person. And once you go into it with that frame, I think that you already start to have a different type of conversation.
Running a business means solving problems. I tell you how the smartest entrepreneurs do it. Hi, I'm Jason Pfeiffer, editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur Magazine, and this is Problem Solvers. Like anyone who has worked for other people, I have worked for a lot of bad editors. And the worst piece of feedback, it was really an edit, but let's say feedback, that I got from an editor whose name, I'm so tempted to say, but I won't. Many years ago, I worked at another magazine, and we would have these stories that we wrote circulated, and lots of editors would read it. And anyway, this one guy was known for just incredibly harsh feedback, and he once circled a large portion of something that I wrote, and then he wrote next to it lots of words with an air of meaning, but not much substance. And I thought, what an ass. But I've since thought, you know, the problem with that, aside from just that he was an ass, which he was, let's be very clear, was that it wasn't really instructing me to do anything. And I have gotten so much of that kind of feedback over the years where it is reactive. It's telling me that something's wrong. It's not exactly moving me towards doing something right. I'm not actually even sure what it's supposed to do. And I think that we just have a chronic problem in which we don't exactly know how to give people feedback that actually accomplishes something, that actually drives action. So that is why I was so excited to talk with Caroline Webb today, who you just heard laugh a minute ago. She is an economist, leadership coach, author of, well, previously, How to Have a Good Day, and now Leadership Intelligence, Science-Backed Strategies for Mastering 21 Everyday Management Challenges, including how to give great feedback that actually matters. And when I saw that, I said, I've got to have her on the show. Caroline, welcome to Problem Solvers.
It's great to be here. Thank you.
So talk to me for a second about why we are so bad at giving feedback.
Well, it's a really intimate thing to make a comment on how someone is going through their life. And, you know, it takes something from the giver, it takes something from the receiver. But I think often the challenge is that we don't really know how to do it in a way that preserves the relationship and actually helps the person grow. And sometimes we don't stop to think about why are we doing it? And, you know, the reason we give feedback is, or it should be, to help the person develop and get better. Sometimes when someone has done something that we don't like or we don't appreciate, there's a sort of phase where what you really want to do is go, ah! And that is an expression of your distress or annoyance, but it is not feedback. And so, you know, I think, you know, there is something about teasing those two things apart. And feedback really is about how do you develop the other person. And once you go into it with that frame, I think that you already start to have a different type of conversation.
Yeah, that's a really great reframing of it. Feedback is not a reaction. Feedback is development. Is that right?
Right, exactly.
And so if I'm thinking about it in that way, then when I'm giving someone feedback, what I am trying to do is make them better. And I suppose the selfish reason to make them better is because the better they become, if I work with them, then the less work I have to do on something. And that is why, for example, I, just to brag a little bit about my own good development feedback, when I edit other writers, not like the guy from a long time ago, I always explain the reason why I made a change. So I'll change the way in which the lead of a story is, and then I'll email the writer and I'll say, the reason I did this is because I felt like that other part wasn't right. And what I'm trying to do, I guess I hadn't really thought about it this way, is I'm trying to explain, but also to train, so that they don't just see that something happened and think that I didn't like it, but the reasons are mysterious and maybe they can disagree, but instead to just say, I want you to become better at the thing that we're doing together. Is that
exactly? Exactly. Beautifully said. And I'd even go one step back and say, it's a lot easier to create that sense that what you're doing is developing the person if you're also being really deliberate about noticing what they do well and very specific about calling it out. You know, I think some people, I mean, there's definitely an enormous shortage of positive feedback in the workplace, in my experience, you know, and that can be a few different things. You know, you didn't get it when you were coming up and, you know, why should you give it to other people? That's certainly one version of it. Another is to say, well, you know, it seems a bit soft. Or another version is, I say good job. What else do they need? I mean, that's actually a really broad, lovely thing to say, you know, well done. But the thing is that everybody's brains remember specific things more than just generalities. And so if you say, good job, you're not actually sticking it in their mind as well as saying, I really like the way you wrote that paragraph because it created a real sense of pacing, the way you started with this and then ended with that. And what that tells the person is that they should do that again. And this is also really useful information. I think sometimes we assume that people know what they're doing well. But if you don't call it out, it might have happened by accident and it may not happen again. So if you see something that you think is good, it's just as important to call that out as specifically and factually as you can, because people learn so much from understanding what's working.
Positive reinforcement, right? And it's also about creating patterns for people. I thought it was really noteworthy what you just said a moment ago, which is that people might not know the thing that they did well. They could have done it by accident. They could have run a little experiment. They don't know exactly what is working unless you point it out. So what you're helping people do is develop the patterns of recognizing what success looks like in this environment.
Exactly. And I think we just so easily assume it's obvious. There's something in behavioral science called the curse of knowledge, where we assume that what we know is known to everybody else. Mm-hmm. And actually, it's just, you know, very much not. And, you know, we're all in our own bubble. We think it's absolutely obvious that, you know, Jason is absolutely brilliant at, you know, telling someone's story in a way that really resonates with the reader. Jason might not know that, or Jason might not know what he's doing that actually lands that so well. So, you know, it's really good to tell him that, to make sure that, you know, he sticks that in his mind. And especially if you're trying to get them to develop in other ways, because what can often happen is, you know, you want to encourage them to do something new or different. It's so easy to suddenly then lose what you're doing well because you're trying to be something different or try something different. So it's especially important if you're giving developmental feedback to help people understand what they should hold on to and keep doing.
I bet a lot of people want to do this or think that they're doing it, but a restriction is time. What we're talking about is time consuming. It is investing in people, possibly a lot of people. And sometimes you just got to get the thing done. And, you know, in my case at the magazine, the story comes in and I got to get it over there. And sometimes I don't have time to explain every little thing that I'm doing. I just got to get it moving. So can you talk to someone who maybe just feels a little overwhelmed by the amount of time good feedback seems like it would take?
Well, I've got two answers to that. I think the first answer is it takes much less time than you think. And we can talk in a moment about, you know, what my recommended approach is. But I think the other thing is that if you're only working with someone once and it's a one-shot game, then, you know, okay, that might make sense to say, okay, I've just got to get it over the line. But as soon as this is someone you're working with more than once, and, you know, in general it is, anything you do now to give them more information, for example, what you were saying about understanding.
Abercrombie knows denim better than anyone. Their relaxed jean was made for everyday plans, while their baggy jean comes through for the days you need something different. Plus, they've got their original classic fits and athletic fits for guys who want a little more room in the fire and seat. Shop Abercrombie denim and more in the app, online, and in stores.
Sadly, the reasons why you're making changes, and it's going to pay back. It's going to pay back because you're going to have to spend less time on it next time and the time after that. And by the way, if they don't obviously take on board your feedback, then you have a different type of conversation. I'm not being, you know, Pollyanna-ish about this, but any extra time you spend now repays in full and with interest further down the line.
Mm. How should a manager or you know, founder or something, think about who to invest their feedback in? This is possibly a weird sounding question because doesn't everyone deserve good feedback? But if you've got a lot of people, do you start to think about like the different ways in which people are processing feedback, how much time individual people should get of your feedback? How do you parcel out that time and effort in the way that feels most effective for the organization?
That's a good question. I think, you know, the proper answer is everybody does well with getting feedback. Everybody wants feedback. Okay, your mind might go immediately to the one person who really just wants to be left alone, but actually research is really clear on this. Surveys suggest that employees do want more feedback. Yes, they want more positive feedback. Right, you might expect that. But actually, the numbers on how many people want more developmental feedback, it's even more. It's almost everybody says that if it's delivered, you know, well, with care, in a factual way, they want more developmental feedback because, of course, we all want to feel good about our ability to do the job. We all want to learn and grow. And that's, you know, that's one of the realities, is that, you know, everybody is going to benefit and get better as a result of you giving them feedback. So, but then you've got limited time in the day. I do think, you know, you end up with a bit of a U-shaped curve, don't you? You give a lot of feedback to the people who are, you know, struggling. Ideally, you're thinking, okay, well, how do I get them up the curve? Because, you know, this isn't working. You might be more inclined to give appreciation to the people who are working very solidly and smoothly at their jobs. I think people in the middle often get missed out, and, you know, most people are in the middle. So I think there is this big opportunity, even just giving a little bit of feedback once a week. I was just working with a leader last week, and we said, okay, once a week, make a note, see what people are doing, notice one thing that they're doing well. And let's start with positive feedback, because that's, you know, that's an easier place to start. And it has been so interesting to see how little time it's actually taken, because you have the thought, you think, oh, great, they delivered that on time. Oh, that went, yeah, okay, that's good. You just need to jot it down, and then you've got your list, and then it's not so hard. It's not so hard. It's not so hard just to go from saying thank you to thanks, I appreciate you got it in on time, makes it possible to do this. That takes so few seconds. But you're being specific about what they did well, what the observation was, and you're being specific about what the implication was. And that's my the core of what I think is good feedback, your factual observation and factual about what the implication is. Whether it's positive or negative, I saw you do this, it had this effect. That doesn't take that much time, you know, not really. Not really. You just have to get your head in to the right place to notice what your team is doing so that you can talk about it pretty crisply.
You know, buried into your answer there, for example, one of the things you said was, let's start with positive feedback because that's easier, is that giving feedback is hard for some people. It might feel uncomfortable for all sorts of reasons. I can just hypothesize. Because you don't want to come across as mean or negative, because you I don't know. You tell me, actually, unpack this a little bit more for me, because I bet that a lot of the reason that sometimes people don't give feedback is just because doing it makes them uncomfortable.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. And mm-hmm. I would say there's not a single leader I've worked with, I'm just checking whether this is a factually true statement. There's not a single leader I've worked with where we haven't worked on feedback because of the things you've said, because of the fact that we're busy. We're just trying to get things done. It does take a slightly longer term perspective to say, actually, it's quicker for me not to give feedback right now, but it's slower in the longer term. Mm-hmm. I only have to extend my time horizon to a week or two for it to start to be worth it to actually just say, oh, you did that well, thank you, it made this possible.
Yeah.
Way more likely to happen again. So, I mean, talking about the discomfort, I do want to say also, I think any new habit feels a little awkward initially, you know? So it's like, this has the extra spice of it being an interpersonal habit, which is, I think, why we articulate the discomfort more. But it's like any other habit. It's like, you know, it's like going to the gym, or it's like getting a little better organized with your task list. It's like learning to work with, you know, other people when you've been working on your own for a while. You know, we all have these changes in identity and action, and you're laying down new neural pathways in your brain every time you do that. So yes, it does take a little bit more effort than going on autopilot, but in this case, there's just no question that it's worth it.
You know, as we've been talking, my brain has started to unpack other memories attached to this traumatic, apparently, little piece of edit that this jerk wrote for me a long time ago. It reminded me of something else that had happened because of that guy. And I want to share it with you and get your take on it. So now, again, for context, because I'm working in the world of editing, a lot of the feedback takes place on page instead of just verbally, although there's certainly plenty of verbal feedback as well with writers. But this editor, when we were writing a draft, and so it's not laid out on a page yet, and he can't circle it and just be mean. Instead, what he would do is he would almost line by line rip apart what I have written, and he would do it in all caps and in red. So what I would get back is a piece of is a document that was just absolutely stuffed with all caps, red. It felt like I was being screamed at, and when I thought, this was very early in my career, so as I thought about becoming the boss, the editor, the person who is now working with others, I thought, I want to do the exact opposite of that. What is the exact opposite of that? And I realized, okay, well, the exact opposite of that is, instead of red, my edits will be in blue. Blue is soothing. Yes. And then also, instead of all caps, it will be in like all lowercase, or at least kind of regular structure, you know, capitalized at the beginning of a sentence, et cetera. And that is how I have operated ever since. And I suppose what I am describing here is a kind of anti-role model that I identified, the person who was doing it wrong. And I know that because I experienced it myself. And then instead of just repeating that pattern, I decided to define myself exactly opposite of what I was experiencing. Good strategy? What do you think?
Well, I think we can learn a lot from our bad bosses, actually. Yeah, I you know, I think it is actually pretty instructive to look at how someone is working in a way that you don't like and say, okay, I mean, you have to sort of ask yourself, well, what is it I don't like about this? And what would be both the intention and the action that would, you know, point in a different direction? So, yeah, I think it is a really positive thing to say, okay, this was not very pleasant, but I can make use of this, for sure. I think the thing is that if you just flip what he was doing, you might still leave, you know, something on the table unused or unexploited, because I think you could go further and say, okay, these are definitely things that I don't want to do. What is the effect that I want to create on someone I'm giving feedback to? I want to leave them motivated, probably. I want to leave them informed. I want to leave them better, a better writer. And so I think, you know, absolutely flip it, but then say, okay, what am I trying to do here? And I think in that case, and I speak as someone who's given feedback to editors on how I like to be edited, is to say, I know you think you don't need to say this, but please tell me what you think is working in this. Tell me what you like. Tell me what is landing for you. And put that at the top of the email, or, you know, in a note at the top of the document. And I do this for my clients too, right? So sometimes they'll send me a board paper, or, you know, they'll send me something that, you know, they'd like my feedback on. And I think, oh, well, this should be different. This should be different. This should be different. Stop.
Abercrombie knows denim better than anyone. Their relaxed jean was made for everyday plans, while their baggy jean comes through for the days you need something different. Plus, they've got their original classic fits and athletic fits for guys who want a little more room in the fire and seat. Shop Abercrombie Denim and more in the app, online, and in stores.
Go up to the top. What I think is working well about this? What do I like about this? And if you do that, all of your developmental feedback lands totally differently, because it's landing in a brain that isn't on the defensive. And you're giving them useful information, and you're signaling, I'm on your side, I want you to do well, and this is, you know, this is good in these ways, so don't, you know, don't lose that. So I think that will be, you know, that will be the next phase.
That's great. Yeah, and also something that you just introduced there, which is really valuable, is that, you know, we've largely been talking as the people giving feedback, but also everyone should be getting feedback, and you might not get it unless you invite it. It reminds me of, I do a lot of keynote speaking, you know, people hire me to come speak at a company, and not long ago, the CEO of a pretty sizable company had me fly down to give a talk to his team. And before I spoke, he spoke. He got up and gave a talk. And he told me beforehand, he said, you know, I don't actually feel all that confident doing this. I like doing it, but I'm not sure that I'm very good at it. So I would love if you watched me right now and then told me what you think afterwards. And I was like, yeah, absolutely. It would never occur to me to do that. I would never dream of just walking up to someone who just got off stage uninvited and giving them feedback. I would never. But because he asked me, I actually sat there taking notes throughout the entire talk. And then we had a great conversation afterwards, and he found it super valuable. So you won't get that kind of stuff unless you're asking for it, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. And it is one of the most powerful things that you can do if you've got people that work for you and you're giving them feedback by, well done. So big step. It's so powerful to say, do you have any feedback for me? It's one of the most motivating things that you can do. The first time you do it, they might be a bit taken aback. You know, they might feel a bit like you did. It's like, oh gosh, I've never been asked this before. But what a different type of dialogue you set up. And you can say, is there anything I could do differently that would make it easier for you to do a good job? And they might say, well, if you could let me know when you've received something from me, just so I don't worry about whether it's, got lost in your inbox. Okay, that's useful. It doesn't have to be deep existential feedback. It can be just practical stuff that makes things flow better between the two of you.
Caroline Webb, the...
Abercrombie knows denim better than anyone. Their relaxed jean was made for everyday plans, while their baggy jean comes through for the days you need something different. Plus, they've got their original classic fits and athletic fits for guys who want a little more room in the fire and seat. Shop Abercrombie Denim and more in the app, online and in stores.
The book is called Leadership Intelligence, Science-Backed Strategies for Mastering 21 Everyday Management Challenges. Before we go, you want to just unpack that a little bit more. Science-backed strategies for management challenges?
Well, I've been working with leaders, coaching and advising them for over 25 years, and I've actually always taken an approach that is rooted in cognitive and behavioral science. I had a first career as an economist. And I've always seen how having an understanding of the human mind makes it easier to make the most of the human talent, the human intelligence on your team. So that's been the approach I've been using for a long time. And I really wanted to put it into a playbook that was super easy for leaders to dip into when they've only got 5 minutes before a meeting or 5 minutes before they have to stand up and speak to people. So I really wanted to make it super easy and systemic. So it doesn't cover everything that you're going to come across, but it covers a lot of it. The 21 situations that I've seen probably crop up most often in my many years of coaching.
Yeah. And so we've covered one here, but what are a few more that people get in the book?
How to understand a complex situation, how to make a smarter decision, how to lead a really intelligent team discussion, how to delegate really effectively to drive performance, how to drive change, how to manage your own stress in a way that makes you able to lead authentically but with calm and steadiness. Also, how do you handle really tough situations where you've got a serious underperformer and you have to think about where that's going. So it goes from making wise choices to inspiring great performance to building resilience in everybody, even through the really tough times.
That's awesome. Well, Caroline, this was so great. My feedback to you is that you did a great job. And also, you brought a microphone. And as I told you before we started recording, a lot of podcast guests do not, even though at this point you can get a microphone for like $50 on Amazon. Everybody get one. So you sounded great too. Really appreciate
your time. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much.